Every Tuesday and Friday, from Glasgow, Scotland, it's the high risk, high reward play every time. It's the Going For Two podcast. And here are your hosts, Nick Langdon and Ross White. Yes, hello. Week one in the books, and it's the Going For Two podcast with me, Ross White.
And me, Nicholas Langdon.
Oh, it was fun.
It was great fun. I was so excited, and a lot of upsets, like shocking results. I got a lot wrong. I don't know about you.
Yep.
I know that our prediction show is looking flimsy right now. Or at least from my point of view, it is.
Yeah, straight from game number one, we were all looking a little bit flimsy. But then everybody's looking flimsy after that game, you know. The New England Patriots were a total favourites and they got beaten. But
absolutely battered in that game.
Yeah, we're going to break down every single game in this episode. So if you missed anything, if you didn't have the privilege of watching Red Zone like we did, don't worry, we've got you covered. We know everything that's happened in every game. Nothing gets past me, Nick.
It might get past me, though. You have to make up the slack.
Not a problem. Not a problem. So yeah, we're going to cover all the games and we'll start with that. Let's start with New England and Kansas City. So New England and Kansas City, the Super Bowl champions, New England Patriots, hosting the AFC West champions from last season, the Kansas City Chiefs. And they look set to become the AFC West champions again, Nick, after a convincing win over the New England Patriots.
It's a bit early for that, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know.
The Raiders look good in their kickoff game, so...
Yeah, and we'll get to the Raiders as well because, they got a really good win on the road against a very good team. My dad, John White, you're listening, he's a big Patriots fan and he blames three people for New England's comprehensive loss in week one. Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator.
Okay.
Tom Brady, obviously the quarterback, and Rob Gronkowski.
Do you have reasons why?
He thinks that Brady was overthrowing receivers, which he was. He looked off, and Gronkowski didn't look like he was putting a shift in, and Matt Patricia was getting it wrong. I agree on the Matt Patricia front. I think he was getting it wrong.
I don't know. I mean, the Chiefs just look really, really good. It's like surprisingly good on offense. This was a team that we thought might miss Jeremy Maclin, but apparently not at all. Tyreek Hill got one really big play on a blown coverage, but he's still that big play threat, and he gives them something. And then there's this guy that they got who to replace Jamaal Charles, and we weren't really sure about him, but it turns out Kareem Hunt looks like the real deal.
Oh, Kareem Hunt looked very good. I'd heard before I kind of watched the game, I'd just seen something about, oh, Kareem Hunt, you know, without his two big plays, you know, what was there? Well, there was a lot. He looked really good. He looked like he was finding the creases. He looked like he was a good option in the passing game as well. He looked like he was really putting a shift in. Kareem Hunt was very good.
17 attempts for 148 yards is outstanding. Admittedly, 58 of them came on one run. But he also put in 5 receptions for 98 yards, 2 extra touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, exceptional stuff from a young guy who's got a lot to play for in that offense. But he's got a good quarterback playing with him as well. Alex Smith, I think he made a lot of the space for Hunt to
Alex
run in.
Alex Smith looked very impressive. He outplayed Tom Brady and by quite a way, which is saying something. This was such a weird game because early on I was just like, oh, here it is. It's the Patriots. And they just looked like they had control of the game all the way through the second quarter, and then towards the end of the third quarter I was like, right, this is it, the Chiefs have got nothing left, and then bang, 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 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter for the Chiefs.
Boom.
All the way.
Absolutely. Smith was doing a lot of these option shovel passes. I don't know if you saw it. So he had the option to either keep the ball and throw it or hand it off to Kareem Hunt. And every time he would choose to keep the ball,
yep,
and then instead of throwing it downfield, he would shovel pass it forward to the tight end, Travis Kelce. Yeah. And that meant, in doing so, it meant that the Patriots had to really commit to the run, and it opened up space in the backfield for then Tariq Hill to get big plays further downfield. I mean, you got 7 receptions for 130 yards. That's pretty good. So it's, yeah, the way the offense was being played, the way, and the fact that Alex Smith was choosing that side of the option, I think it meant that it opened up the offense a lot for them. But the same goes for the Patriots as well. Their offense was quite open with the fact that Brandon Cooks is now there as a deep threat on the outside. He's the new receiver they got. And Marcus Gillisley, their running back, you've got to commit to him as well. So,
yeah, I mean, all being said, though, they did ultimately seem to miss Julian Edelman.
Yeah. Danny Amendola is not the same.
He got 100 yards though, which is surprising. You don't, if you watch the game, it didn't feel like Danny Amendola got 100 yards, but he actually went for 100 yards. Exactly. But I think, look, it's week one. There is no perhaps better time.
Oh, the Patriots are going to come back. Fine, they're going to win plenty of games. They're going to get double digit wins. But it looks like there's a way to beat them that the Kansas City Chiefs have found. And the Patriots are going to fix some things. Gronk had a really good catch for a touchdown that was ruled out.
Yeah, I didn't understand why that was overturned. It's not only baffling catch, not catch rules, but hey, that's the catch rule.
And that is the New England Patriots Kansas City Chiefs game. Let us move on to, oh, what a beautiful game. The New York Jets visit the Buffalo Bills. I was hosting you at my house on Sunday night, Nick, watching Red Zone. And there wasn't very much of this game on it.
No, and rightfully so. I mean, this was the loser bowl.
Oh, we're already projecting that these are going to be the two worst teams in the NFL. But however, actually, having watched all the games, I think there's a few more contenders for worst team in the NFL, like Indianapolis, perhaps.
Yes, they're sneaky.
Yeah.
And the Giants.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, again, another one we'll come to. But yeah, let's speak about this game, about the New York Jets and Buffalo Bills. It started off in the first quarter with a pick trip by the Jets. So.
I think if one play could epitomise like the Jets off season and preseason and everything that people expect from the Jets going forwards, I think that was it. It's a pick six in the end zone.
Well, it was a pick. It was a pick.
It was a pick in the end zone. Sorry, and it looks like for all the world like he's got runner. He's coming up the sideline. Gets around about the 40-50 yard line. He's got blockers in front. Looks like he's going to make a clear run for it.
Yep.
Tripped up by his own player.
Oh gosh, the Jets
tackle Jets.
Jets defense making a play and then stopping their own play. So. Yeah, just tripping over yourself and getting in your own way. That is the Jets, unfortunately. But what isn't the Jets is the Bills, where Tyrod Taylor looked solid.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, 16 of 28, that doesn't sound that impressive, but 224 yards, 2 touchdowns, obviously that pick we talked about. But he also managed to rush for 38 yards on 8 attempts. And then when you combine that with the running ability of LeSean McCoy, 22 carries, 110 yards. That's the added dimension that Tyrod gives. It's the ability to run as well, and sort of stretch defenses in a different way. And I think I think he's a solid quarterback for them. And I don't see why they're always trying to look to move on from him.
I don't see why they're trying to look anywhere else other than Zay Jones. Why did he not get very many targets? He got one target for 21 yards.
Well,
our favourite clarinet player is only getting one pass.
That 1,000-yard season looking shaky already.
Yeah, the Jets season, your brother Ben, his favourite team, Jets, they're looking shaky already, man.
I guess bright spots from a Jets point of view, Jermaine Kearse, who's been there, a week? Led the team in receiving in terms of catches and yards.
Yeah.
So he's obviously an instant upgrade at the position. Real down spots, though, were the Jets' rushing game.
Yeah, where was Bilal Powell?
Bilal Powell,
they only
nowhere.
Rushed the ball, 15 times, something like that?
Yeah, and I mean, two of them are by Josh McCown. So it's problematic. A combined total of 38 rushing yards
from
Bilal Powell
ugly.
And Matt Forte.
So ugly.
You can't win with Josh McCown throwing 39 attempts.
No, because in the fourth quarter, he threw 2 picks.
Of course he did. He's Josh McCown.
I mean, the offense is not being helped by him at the moment. The offense isn't good, full stop. And the defense got rid of their best piece in Sheldon Richardson. They still were okay, but they no one's expecting anything from the Jets this year.
No. Their attempt at the number one pick, the scam for Sam, got off to the best possible start. 0-1. Glennon
time. They get it. Oh, it's Trouts! That could have been six. Lennon firing, end zone incomplete. And it'll all come down to one last play.
What a game. The Chicago Bears gave the Super Bowl runners-up everything they could handle. This was not the game that we expected. We expected the Falcons to roll into town, do away with the lowly Bears who picked number two in the draft. But no, Tariq Cohen helped spark an offense where Mike Glennon didn't look that bad. And they gave the Falcons all they could handle for 60 minutes. And it came down to the final few plays.
Yeah, it was great. The Atlanta Falcons and the Chicago Bears in Chicago. It was much closer than we all thought. In the fourth quarter, it was 13-10 Atlanta. There's a team who just been in the Super Bowl. We're only 3 points ahead of one of the worst teams in the league last year in the fourth quarter. That's very close, far too close. And the reason it was so close, really, was because of Chicago's new sweetheart, Tariq Cohen. Wow, what a player, man.
What an exciting, fun player to watch. He reminds me of Darren Sproles. He was just like all the good bits. Just, you know, fast feet, quick twitch, agile in the pocket, and surprisingly hard to tackle. Like, for a guy who's 5'6", he runs over a DB on his touchdown, which is seriously embarrassing for the DB in question. But then, on one of his excellent plays earlier in the quarter, where he's running left, and it looks like he's dead to rights, doesn't it, Ross?
Yeah, for sure.
And then all of a sudden, he just reverses field, comes up the sideline, shakes one guy off, keeps going, and then finally brought down. I mean, oh, it was just exciting to watch.
Yeah, he's he just looks like he's dancing on ice. He's the running back in Chicago, his feet run so... They're constantly moving, his little feet, his little dainty feet at 5'6". They just keep on moving, and he just glides around the field. He looks really good to watch. Love Tariq Cohen. Top of my waiver wire priorities this week in fantasy.
Ross is bottom of our league, so number one in waiver priorities, so he'll probably get him.
Yeah, so listen to me for fantasy advice. I'm doing so well, scoring 33 points this week.
That's what week one's for.
So did you see Kevin White, who? The Chicago Bears wide receiver, got a collarbone injury? We said it before the season. We said, how many games is he going to play because of his shin splints?
About half.
Yeah, the shin splints didn't seem to be an issue, but a broken collarbone is the issue now. Out for the season.
He's played five games since he entered the NFL, which was, what, two seasons ago?
Yeah, this is his third year.
I mean,
he's not going to play any games this year.
And it's unfortunate because he's fundamentally quite a good weapon. He just can't
not anymore.
Stay healthy.
That's the end of his career, surely. I mean, how can you trust him anymore?
He'll latch on with another team next season, but
I'm not going to trust him in any way, shape, or form. I do trust Austin Hooper, the tight end for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, just the tight end that's left in 15 yards of open space at midfield. I mean, what a coverage bust from the Bears. And if it wasn't for this, you know, the Falcons are backed up at their own 12-yard line when Matt Ryan scrambles around, finds Austin Hooper literally not within 15 yards of anyone at the Bears midfield.
Somehow, with his poor speed, though, he allows players to get close
to
him.
They get close, but then he just stiff arms them and just shrugs them off. Oh, sit down, son.
Yeah, man. It wasn't just a stiff arm and a shove away. It was a, I'm controlling you, I own you, and sits them down. And again later in the fourth quarter.
Another great 40
yards. Sits another defender down.
Two receptions, 128 yards.
Oh, man.
I mean, that is some yak.
Austin Hooper, you are a bad man. A bad man.
In other Falcons offense news, Julio Jones still looks good.
Yep.
The running game, not quite so good.
No.
Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman combining for just over 50 yards between them on 20 attempts, which is problematic, especially against the Bears defense, which hasn't been highly regarded throughout training camp and going into the season.
Yeah, so they're missing Kyle Shanahan on the
running game. Well, it seems so, but you know, last season they were the best offense in football and at a pretty historic level. So it's natural for them to return to the pack. But this game was closer than expected. If you're a Bears fan, you've got something to hope about. The Falcons are a quality team, and you went toe to toe with them for a full 60 minutes, and it, you know, but for two consecutive drops in the end zone on first and second and goal with under a minute to go.
Yeah.
Like,
and third, I mean...
If that was complete, Chicago wins the game.
Yeah, so at the very end of the fourth quarter, Chicago are standing there at the goal line, about to score a touchdown to win the game, and three dropped passes. And then on fourth down, where it's, well, you've got to go for it on fourth down, it's the end of the game. And
finally sacked.
He gets sacked. So, yeah, Chicago had a real chance to win it. They have nothing in receiving, but they do have Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard to look forward to in the running game all season. Time to move on to the divisional game, the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. It was a total washout. Baltimore beating the Cincinnati Bengals 20-0 after four interceptions from Andy Dalton, the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, this was an absolute meltdown from Cincinnati, who had been projected throughout the preseason as a potential sexy wild card pick, you know, running up in the division. But on the basis of this performance, they'll do well to finish ahead of the Browns in third place in the division. Is this just a one-off game? I mean, we've seen this before from Andy Dalton, the four-pick meltdown game, and it tends to happen against the Ravens. Is this a sign of things to come, or do you think this is just one of those horrible weeks where it all kind of just goes wrong?
I'm going to say it's just one of those weeks, because the backfield of Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill and Joe Mixon looks good, but yeah, they didn't go very far this week. They together only went for, what, 70-something yards between three of them. Joe Mixon got 8 carries, Gio Bernard 7, Jeremy Hill 6. They're all in the same region. I didn't expect Joe Mixon to get any carries, not 8 for sure, this week. But yeah, they're not carrying it very much anyway. That's a small amount of run plays.
They were behind for most of the game, though.
So. No, I mean, in the second quarter, they two touchdowns were scored against them. But other than that, you're still within touching distance at that point. You know, 14 down, and you know you've got a whole half to play. You are still running the ball, but they should have been at least. But 31 pass attempts from Andy Dalton means that it's totally skewed. And AJ Green wasn't really breaking anything there.
Five for 74. It's solid.
They need more to happen on offense, and they need something to happen on defense. One good thing on defense was Nick Vigil was playing in place of Vontez Burfict, the suspended middle linebacker for the Bengals, and he did well. He got an interception, and I mean, he seemed in the same vein as Vontez Burfict, a little bit thuggish, pushing people about a bit. Yeah,
I didn't think he looked that bad. From the Ravens' point of view, unfortunate news for Danny Woodhead, who has had problems in the past. Looks like a hamstring injury. Not sure at this point exactly how long he's going to be out for, but that's worth tracking. Joe Flacco looked rusty, only threw 17 times and only completed 9, and only threw for 121 yards.
Gosh, he didn't even complete 10 passes. That is poor.
The back injury, I presume, is still lingering, but don't worry, guys. You've still got Justin Tucker, and he still looks great.
So when we go to Cleveland next, where the Cleveland Browns hosted the Pittsburgh Steelers, the perennial losers of the division, hosting the perennial winners of the division.
And it was close. I mean, we did sort of say in the preview that I thought, you know, this wasn't a given win for Pittsburgh. And it wasn't. You know, even going late into the fourth quarter, this game was close. Finished 21-18 to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But Cleveland, there's a lot of positive takeaways from this.
Yeah, and I said this was going to happen. I said there was going to be positive things for Cleveland to look at this year, and that it's not about the wins, because Cleveland fans aren't sitting there going, oh God, we didn't win like that, we should have won that, and they're kicking themselves. They're feeling the opposite. In a loss, they're happy because their rookie quarterback looked more than solid. He got a rushing touchdown and he got a passing touchdown. He looks good, man. I'd be very happy with Deshaun Kaiser.
Probably the best looking Cleveland rookie in an opener for a while, if not since they've come back.
Well, ever, yeah. What did look good was the Pittsburgh Steelers offense again. We knew that would be the case. You know, even if Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant haven't had a chance to practice all together at all in the offseason, we know that all the players are talented enough to make a difference when they all get on the field together. And they did, with 24 passes complete for Ben Roethlisberger and everybody else just being a switch. Le'Veon Bell was kept in check.
Le'Veon Bell was very much kept in check. But, I mean, once again, it goes to one of my favourite players in the NFL, Antonio Brown, 11 receptions, 182 yards. Didn't get a touchdown. They both went to Jesse James. But 182 yards on 11 catches. That is phenomenal. He is the best receiver in the NFL, maybe apart from Julio Jones, because I think Julio might be more physically talented.
Maybe apart from Odell Beckham, who was clearly missed. But did you see when you were watching it, did you feel like he went for 182?
No, that was the thing. It was just the most sort of just like run of the mill, mundane 182 yard game.
Yeah.
He could seriously challenge a lot of the receiving records this year in terms of total yardage and catches. Martavis Bryant, maybe the lack of practice time showed, only 2 receptions, only 14 yards.
Yeah, but he's only just come back in, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they've got time to build towards the offense. Lev Bell was quite quiet, only 10 attempts, 32 yards rushing.
You know who else? You said both the touchdowns went to Jesse James, but yes, there was a third touchdown, Nick.
There was.
That came in the very first quarter.
Yes.
It was the first drive, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Browns' first drive. They go for a punt from their own 15, 20-yard line-ish, and pressure straight up the middle, blocked, and batted back into the end zone.
Chicolo
falls on it.
Great surname, that, isn't
I know,
it?
It's
I'd love to be Ross Chicolo.
You'd suit Ross Chicolo.
Damn right I would.
Yeah, I mean, that was a positive sign for the Steelers' defense, which looks like it needs to make a step this season. Overall, I think both teams can be happy, like, coming out of the game, I think.
Oh, TJ Watt! That's something to look forward to. That's a good thing for the defense.
Got an interception, had an excellent game overall.
2 sacks. This is the brother of famous Houston Texans defensive end JJ Watt, drafted this year, TJ Watt. It's great that they both have, like, TJ, JJ, like, great name.
Obviously, very strict naming criteria in that family.
Yeah. They don't talk about BJ Watt, though. But that's the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns. We're going to move on and talk about the Detroit Lions hosting the Arizona Cardinals.
Incomplete and intercepted. Miles Killebrew is in for a pick six.
So it was a really big win for the Detroit Lions at home. 35 points scored of all the games we've spoken about so far. Oh no, I was going to say it was the highest scoring of all we've spoken about so far, but Kansas City got 42 over New England, so it's not. But it's a big win for the Detroit Lions at home against Arizona Cardinals. They could both be playoff contenders in wild card situations. I didn't think Detroit would have been, but with a comprehensive win like that, maybe they could, maybe they've got something.
It was a comprehensive meltdown by Carson Palmer. 3 interceptions, a number of which looked just really, really dreadful bad throws.
The first one, 3 minutes into the game, looked bad. There was nobody in the
area. And then the next one, he sails it straight over the top of his receiver's head, just into the coverage. I mean, it looked poor.
The third one, granted, was a tip pass.
Tip passes, unfortunately, count against you, but that happens. Matt Stafford looked excellent, threw 5 touchdowns. 4 for the Lions, 1 for the Cardinals.
Yeah, his pick didn't come long after
Carson's
first. Yeah, so. But the 3 picks from Carson, they weren't the only turnovers for the Cardinals.
David Johnson drops and fumbles the ball late in the fourth quarter. He then also exits the game with what is now been confirmed as a dislocated wrist and is due to miss 2 to 3 months.
That's bad news for the number one fantasy pick for the year. He's a great running back. He receives the ball well. He runs well with it. He can get into space. He's fast. He's strong. David Johnson's fantastic, and now he's going to be sitting out for 3 months, and they're going to be having to look down at, who's that, Carlos Williams.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a great
situation.
Yeah,
he was in Buffalo and didn't... He was okay in Buffalo, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good situation in the backfield. Maybe Andre Ellington gets touches.
Don't be confident if you're an Arizona fan.
This really hurt the Cardinals badly. I mean, not only did they lose an in-conference game on the road to a potential other playoff contender, they also lose their best defensive weapon.
Yeah, but the Detroit Lions discovered... a great new offensive weapon.
Kenny Golladay!
Yeah, rookie Kenny Golladay up the third round of the draft this year. Our friend, superfan Ben Slater, you've got a lot to be excited about here with Kenny Golladay.
4 receptions, 69 yards, 2 for a touchdown. He looked good. If he can work in with Golden Tate, who looks solid as ever, and Marvin Jones, to give him a three-headed monster at receiver. That's not often you hear the three-headed monster at receiver. I think there's potential. The only problem is, and look, it's always the same, and I bought into Amir Abdullah in the offseason. He got injured last season.
Oh, Amir Abdullah.
I thought this was going to be the year. You know, Amir Abdullah is going to give some balance to the Lions' attack, but no, it isn't. Matt Stafford still ends up having to throw 41 times.
Yeah, they really chucked the ball about this game. Both teams. It was 41 pass attempts from the Detroit Lions and 48 pass attempts from Carson Palmer and the Arizona Cardinals. This is a lot of passing going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those wild games. Amir Abdullah, 15 attempts, 30 yards. That's concerning going forwards. They need to sort something out in the backfield. Otherwise, it will cost them.
Another team that have to sort things out big time are the Houston Texans, who hosted the Jacksonville Jaguars. There are a lot of winners for Jacksonville today as they won 29-7 over the Houston Texans. However, there was one big winner for the Houston Texans. Can you guess who it is, Nick?
Deshaun Watson?
No. Dwayne Brown.
Why?
Dwayne Brown, the offensive lineman for the Houston Texans who didn't play. He's a winner because he's holding out for a new contract. And the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars got 10 sacks this game. 10 sacks.
A franchise record.
Oh, man. That means that his value just went up because they need him. They need a better offensive line if they're going to protect young Deshaun Watson, who came in and replaced young Tom Savage, who I now know is not the same as Tom Brady.
No, that was an incorrect prediction. I mean, there's not a lot. It's hard to take a lot from the quarterback situation in Houston because the offensive line was frankly woeful.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
They could not protect either of them to save their lives.
Dwayne Brown's going to get paid!
Both quarterbacks combined for 162 passing yards, which is problematic. Both of them were sacked and fumbled the ball. Tom Savage twice, Deshaun Watson once.
Oh, gosh.
All three were recovered by the Jags, one of which was returned for a touchdown.
Dante Fowler Jr.
A mess.
Dante Fowler taking that one into the end zone for a touchdown. That was good news, yeah. But Calais Campbell, the recent addition from the Arizona Cardinals, got 4 sacks in the game, which is, I mean, that's just putting
him early sack leader.
Yeah, very early. It's going to take a few weeks for anyone to catch up with that.
Yeah, I mean, extremely impressive. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the game went exactly to script. Blake Bortles only attempted 21 passes, 11 of which were completed for 125 yards, and the rest of the time they just pounded Leonard Fournette with a dose of Chris Ivory. Going 100 yards for Fournette in his rookie game with a touchdown.
Yep.
Very impressive. Looks like an NFL-ready player. Chris Ivory still able to spell him. The receiving situation isn't great with Allen Robinson getting injured in this game.
Yeah, oh, I forgot to mention. Yeah, Allen Robinson, the leading receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars last year. He's out for the season, yeah?
Is it for the season?
ACL.
I'm not sure yet. Oh, is it an ACL?
Yeah.
Oh, that's problematic then. In that case, yes.
Yeah, he's out for the season with an ACL. But I mean, you're saying they're hiding Blake Bortles. Surely all teams really want to be in a position where they're throwing the ball 20 times and controlling the game on the ground.
Ideally, but you'd like to see your quarterback do more.
Yeah, but they got the win. He threw a touchdown. Yeah, it was a 1 yard touchdown pass. But they got the win over division rivals to become, they're over 500 for the first time in over 3 years.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, Jaguars. It isn't going to last long if Blake Bortles can only be trusted to throw for 125 yards. You're going to struggle to win consistently in the NFL, given the way that the rules are.
On to Nashville, where the Tennessee Titans hosted the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders! And the Raiders won 26-16.
This is an impressive win for Oakland against what is presumed to be a potential playoff team in the Tennessee Titans to go in the early kickoff window, win on the road in their building and look comfortable doing it. The Raiders, if this is the Raiders this season, they look threatening.
You say look comfortable. It was really close in the fourth quarter. It did take a fourth quarter win A fourth quarter touchdown to win it for them. So, you know, the Raiders, yeah, they look good going in and doing that. But let's not get too carried away.
It wasn't like last season's Raiders where it was like the heart attack kids and it, you know, it came down to the final throw of the game and Derek Carr pulls it out. You know, they won by 10 points. You know, the end of the game, you know, Marshawn Lynch, 18 attempts, 76 yards rushing. He looked solid, still running people over, still breaking tackles.
He's my boy.
He's a definite asset for them.
For sure.
He takes a lot of the load off Derek Carr. Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper both were outstanding today, particularly Amari Cooper on the first quarter touchdown.
Yeah, he fought through and got the touchdown. He was really fighting.
It looked
for that.
Like he was tackled, didn't it?
Yeah, but he no knee went down. It was his hand. He gave a little spin and kept going. He didn't get a touchdown in that fourth quarter where. Or did he get the one in the end where they were at the goal line and Derek Carr throws it to him and he drops it and he throws it to him and he drops
yes.
it and he throws it to him and he drops it was unbelievable. I'm like, catch the ball. Derek Carr was putting it in the right place.
That was not a great look from Amari Cooper, who dropped maybe two or three consecutive passes. I lost count of how many it was, but it was really, really disappointing.
Yeah, he got the touchdown, but the yards and the receptions went to Michael Crabtree. I can tell you, man, he's the number one receiver in Oakland, and he's better.
It's a battle, and it's something that we tracked all season. Jared Cook, tight end, who came over from Green Bay last season, 5 receptions, 56 yards, looks solid, as does their new kicker, Giorgio Tavecchio.
When the moon hits your eyes like a big pizza pie, that's Tavecchio. Kick the ball through the uprights every game. It's Tavecchio.
4 of 4 field goals, 2 of which were over 50 yards, and 2 for 2 on extra points. Congratulations, Oakland. You found another kicker.
Yeah, they just go. It's like the Green Bay Packers quarterback situation. But
the Raiders can always get good kickers.
Yeah,
not got the same ring to it. Any takeaways from the Tennessee side of things?
Yeah, they don't seem to trust the receivers much. You know, they were putting Delanie Walker out at wide out at points.
Because that's how good he is at tight end, though. That's just a reflection on what a weapon he is.
Yeah, but you want to be able to have him in at tight end and have the receivers out there as well. And so we had a little bit of an iffy situation with the receivers. We talked about it in the previews, and it seems to be playing out that way. So hopefully Marcus Mariota doesn't have to rush the ball in for a touchdown again in the next game. It was his only touchdown, didn't throw any, but yeah, hey, good for him rushing a ball in. But yeah, they need to see a little bit more from the passing game if to go any further. Nick?
No, I think you've absolutely covered it. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry combined for 70 yards total. I mean, it's not ideal. It's not the formula, the exotic smash mouth that they want. They don't want Marcus throwing it 41 times as he did in this game. But they shouldn't dip bow their heads. They're still in a strong position in the division because, after all, it's only Jacksonville that's ahead of them.
Yeah, we've got to move on. And let's go look at Washington hosting Philadelphia.
Second down to 3. Cousins hit as he throws. Ball is loose. It's Fletcher Cox who takes it in for an Eagles touchdown. The fourth Redskins turnover of this game.
So Washington lose 30-17 at home to the Philadelphia Eagles. And Nick, we're not going to spend too long on this one. Carson Wentz threw a beautiful touchdown.
Oh my goodness, shades of Randall Cunningham. Evading multiple rushes, dances around in the pocket, does like a full circle, then shakes up a tackler, dances, and as soon as he set his feet, throws an absolute beautiful ball down to Nelson Aguilar, who catches it, takes it in for a touchdown. What an unbelievable play. That's the kind of stuff that you just cannot plan for.
No, you can't. You also can't plan for your new star cornerback, Ronald Darby.
You just traded for.
Yeah, dislocating his ankle.
It was horrific. If anyone's seen it, I advise your serious caution. It was grim.
Man.
I really feel for Ronald Darby because, you know, first game into the new season and that's it. Season's over.
No, I think he's going to be back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because
It'll be late in the season.
It'd be worse to get the high ankle sprain. But
really?
See, yeah, because the dislocation, it, you know, things can go back together, and you know the muscles are okay, the bones are okay. Things are just
way,
not where they're meant to be.
Not the great start to the season.
So the Philadelphia defense, their front seven, they look hot, man.
Yes, they looked like advertised in the preseason.
Four sacks, two for Graham, one for Timmy Jernigan, and one for Fletcher Cox. Nick, you got a lot to say about this play. It was really late in the fourth quarter.
Really late in the fourth quarter. They're down 23-17. The Washington Redskins, Kirk Cousins has the ball, and he throws a pass, and it's batted. And it's close, but I believe the ball clearly went forward, and it's ruled a fumble. It's ruled a fumble. They return it for a touchdown.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox picks it up.
I don't think he should have stood. I think it was a forward pass. On replay, it looked clear, but for some reason, they decided not to overturn it, stick with the call on the field, and it ultimately robbed Washington of a chance to come back. I don't think ultimately, though, would have come back, because I don't think Kirk Cousins would have done that much.
Yeah, they had a minute and a half, and they needed to score a touchdown to win the game. So, yeah, it's improbable. It robbed them of a chance. Right, let's move on to Los Angeles Rams hosting the Indianapolis Colts.
On third and 10, rush is coming. Tolzien steps up and throws. Intercepted, Tremaine Johnson down the sideline. Johnson, it's a pick six. Touchdown, Rams.
We said earlier that the Kansas City Chiefs had been one of the highest scoring teams with 42 points, but only one team could beat them. The LA Rams? Yeah. Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The LA Rams scored 46 points. This is not Jeff Fisher's Rams. You can celebrate, Rams fans.
Yeah, and 14 of those points came from the defense.
Yes, Scott Tolzien gave them a helping hand by throwing two dreadful picks, both of which were returned for touchdowns.
Yeah, but the Rams overall scoring 46 points. Nobody saw that one coming. The youngest head coach in NFL history is also the youngest winning coach in NFL history.
That would make logical sense.
Yeah, as they won. Jared Goff, though, yeah, he looked better. He looked good, but the offense was simplified a lot for him. They gave him a better chance.
They were easy throws. They've got receiving weapons, Sammy Watkins, and the rookie Cooper Kupp, who looks exciting. He could potentially even be the leading receiver by the end of the year.
Yeah, man, Cooper Kupp looks boss. He's another one you want to go find in your fantasy waiver wires right now. If no one took him in the first place, I think I advise people to take him when we do.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. The man with 33 fantasy points starts dishing out hindsight advice.
Yeah, the man who never took Cooper Kupp in any league either. But, oh, well. Practice what you preach, Ross. Tolzien was benched, the quarterback. Obviously, Andrew Luck is injured, is what we know. He didn't start.
He's out for at least a fair few more weeks.
Yeah. So Scott Tolzien started, and he was benched in the second half for Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett has only been at the team for 8 days.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty poor. And he looked like a better quarterback. His stats at the end were overall better. I mean, he didn't stay in the field as long. If you want a top fantasy tip, then if you've got any offensive players playing the Colts or a defense playing the Colts, I would start them.
Yeah, do that, man. So we're talking about the Rams defense. Aaron who? Aaron Donald, the star defensive tackle in the league, possible defensive player of the year candidate, is still holding out on a contract. And Nick,
he has reported now.
He has reported. Excellent. So I gave you stick for it when you brought it up and you said, oh, it's a big deal. I said, don't worry, he's going to just turn up on the day and play. Well, he didn't just turn up on the day and play, did he? No, he's still holding out. But they clearly didn't need him. They held the Colts to 9 points. So.
I think the Colts held the Colts to 9 points.
Yeah, a little bit. Considering the Marlon Mack situation, talk us through that play.
Okay, so Marlon Mack catches a pass out the back from Scott Tolzien. He runs it in and sneaks inside the pylon. The footage showed he was inside the pylon. However, the line judge decides that it was ruled short. Now, in that position, Chuck Pagano could have challenged, a challenge he would have likely easily won. But no. Chuck Pagano decided that let's do a hurry up and try and quick snap the Rams defense, which unfortunately for them was already well in position. They ended up kicking a field goal. If you just challenged it, it was a guaranteed touchdown, taking points off the board, your own head coach. That is a bad sign. This Colts team is spiraling out of control fast. And I don't care when Andrew Luck comes back, he's not going to be able to rescue this season.
Yeah, sorry to tell you that, listener Tom Gornall. Oh, can I quickly just say the beautiful interception from Joyner for the Rams. I mean,
oh,
it was
delightful.
one of the two best plays of the day. They are my top two plays of the day, that one and another interception which happened in California that we'll speak about shortly, right after we cover the Green Bay Packers hosting the Seattle Seahawks.
Lambeau Field, the Packers, the Seahawks, two of the potential best offenses in the NFL. Oh, it was 3-0 at the half. Ended 17-9 to Green Bay in what was a defensive slugfest that looked like a January football game and could be still be a preview.
Yeah, it really could be, because both defenses look really solid, and the Packers' offense looked really good, and the Seahawks' offense looked good too. It just, the Seahawks' offensive line was poor. But it's always been poor.
I thought they'd finally got it better this year. I thought this was the year it was better.
No,
I know last year was the year it was going to be better, but it wasn't better. I thought this was actually the year it was better.
No, so they signed Luke Jokel from the Jacksonville Jaguars, put him at left guard, and he got owned. It was a real defensive slugfest. Mike Daniels for
absolute
the Green Bay Packers.
Player of the game.
Yeah, he was really good on the defensive line, really strong, really disrupting things and making a big impact. Another big impact was the ejection. Jeremy Lane, the cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks, was ejected from the game for allegedly punching, I can't even remember which
Packers player it was.
I think it was Devontae Adams, but
I didn't see any punch.
No, he leaned his forearm against him while he was on the ground, quite aggressively, saying, "Hey, you better, stop playing football really well against me," or whatever. But it wasn't a punch at all.
No, I have no reason for him to get ejected. Pete Carroll said that he felt it really affected them.
Yeah,
well, in what they were able to do, which understandably it would do when your starting cornerback is ejected.
Yeah, because it brought a touchdown off the board. They had a pick six in that situation.
Yes.
And that would have really brought the whole game a hell of a lot closer and made a real game. I mean, it was a good game, a real game anyway, but that would have really made it a very good close one. But there was a lot of fighting going on.
These two teams don't like each other.
No.
They've met in the playoffs a few times. Seattle always seems to get the upper hand in the playoffs. But there's a real rivalry brewing here, or it's not even brewing. I think it's spilled over.
Yeah, it's there. Aaron Rodgers threw an amazing touchdown on a rope to Jordy Nelson.
Oh, it was delightful.
Zone.
Yeah, caught the Seahawks defense offside, knew just to go for it, and what a throw right over the middle. Couldn't have done it any better.
But in terms of the fighting, KJ Wright went in late, hitting Aaron Rodgers.
I didn't think it was that late, but
I didn't think it was too late either. I think he'd already committed by the Aaron Rodgers was scrambling. By the time he was going down, KJ Wright had already committed to going in to hit him, because you've got to stop the quarterback from making the first down. Martellus Bennett, the Packers' new
tight end,
wasn't too happy about it and came in and got right up in KJ Wright's face, pushing him to the ground, and he got flagged for it. They got a penalty for that one. But yeah, it's see if that one continues in January, if these two teams meet again. Back to California, the game in which I gave you a little teaser about a few minutes ago, where San Francisco hosted the Carolina Panthers. So it was a pretty basic win by the Panthers in San Francisco. We didn't think San Francisco were going to be very good this year. It doesn't look like they're going to be very good. What do you think about Kyle Shanahan's offense here, Nick?
They struggled, but they're against a good defense in Carolina, and Brian Hoyer is your quarterback, so you can't expect too much from the offense. But 3 points was certainly a disappointment.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde, the running back, he was averaging over 4 yards a carry. Only 9 carries, though.
Yeah, I don't know, baffling. They didn't. Carolina controlled the ball in this game, which Carolina are going to want to do throughout the rest of the season. There's not a lot you can do, really.
What you can do is be. What's this guy's name, Nick?
Jaquiski Tartt.
Jaquiski Tartt!
With an outstanding play on defense.
Yeah, he makes an amazing pick. Cam Newton drops back and makes a pass from midfield, from beyond midfield, right to the end zone. And instead of it reaching one of the Carolina Panthers receivers, instead Jaquiski Tartt is there to make a one-handed interception
going
on his goal line.
Oh, unbelievable.
I mean, it's Odell Beckham-esque.
Absolutely, play of the game. In fact, play of the day, I would say. If you get a chance, go watch the highlight of it. It is well worth a watch.
Yeah, speaking of Odell Beckham-esque, let's move on and talk about the man who was missing when Dallas were hosting the Giants.
They made the difference. Third down and six. And that pass sails. And then somehow Beasley makes the catch.
Oh, my gosh.
The Giants almost had an interception and maybe a pick six.
So my New York Giants fell to division rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to talk for a little bit, Nick. After the game, I felt that the game plan should have been totally different. I felt initially that what should have been happening was that Brandon Marshall should have been the focus of the offense because Odell Beckham was inactive. I felt Brandon Marshall should have been targeted the majority of the time. If he was in double coverage, if things weren't looking good, it should have been dumped off to Evan Engram, the new tight end, and just kind of help establish the run with Perkins in all that. And occasionally, you're then going to get Sterling Shepard on the Beckham-style route of a slant cross field for him to go, all the way to the end zone. Now, Sterling Shepard's not going to be doing it the same way Beckham does, but I felt that should have been the idea on offense. I heard Mike Lombardi speaking about the game, and he was saying that neither Marshall nor Engram looked like they knew the offense, and that it didn't look like either of them were getting to the line correctly. And so that's really going to hold us back if two of the main targets, two of the main weapons on offense, aren't performing. But the McAdoo offense generally is now looking like it might be a little bit too predictable. So, especially when the run game isn't established. It was exactly as I said in the offseason, where I said it was going to be that Paul Perkins was going to be the number one back, basically going on the outside. Vereen was going to come in for the passing downs. And Orleans Darkwood was going to be our run-up-the-middle guy. And when you're doing exactly that on everything, then that's exactly what people are going to expect you to do, and therefore they can stop it. I mean, it was the longest run of the day for a New York Giants player was Paul Perkins, 3 yards. Orleans Darkwood got a 12-yard run, but Paul Perkins, our number one back, got 3 yards as his longest run.
Ross, it's week one. There's 60 more weeks.
I know, and Beckham's going to be back. Our defense looked good. It's just they took far too many snaps. I mean, for the length of time they were on the field, because in the first quarter, we had like 2 or 3 minutes of possession to Dallas Cowboys over 10.
Like 2 times in a row.
I know, this is what I'm saying. So the defense were on the field for way too long, and therefore only conceding 9 points is a real coup.
Right. Anyway, Giants ran over. It's Cowboys talk time. Dak Prescott is still a really, really, really good young quarterback. He looks solid, composed, throws great on the run. Ezekiel Elliott did run all over the Cowboys, which I know you're not thrilled about.
He didn't run all over us. He was good. He's a very good running back. But, I mean, he had 24 carries.
Once again, Rod Marinelli's managed to work miracles with a defense made out of players that he just found in a parking lot. They held up very well, but then again, is that more of a fault of the Giants' offense, or was that the Cowboys' defense?
No, it was the Giants' offense. And we can't rely on the one guy to come in and make those plays every week. But onwards and upwards, Giants fans. And we'll move on now to Minnesota hosting New Orleans in Monday Night Football Doubleheader Part 1. What did you think, Nick? What were your big takeaways from the Vikings hosting the Saints?
The Vikings looked impressive. Yeah. One player in particular, very impressive, probably quarterback of the week, Sam Bradford.
Was he quarterback of the week? Because we've got another game to cover.
I think he was quarterback of the week.
All right, I'm going to go with the other guy.
Oh, no, you can't say that. Not when Sam Bradford went 27 of 32, 346 yards passing, 3 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Yes, it is against the Saints secondary, which Saints fans, I'm pleased to tell you, has not improved at all.
Mate.
However, your run defense does look a bit better. But then again, Dalvin Cook, potential Rookie of the Year candidate, 22 attempts, 127 yards rushing.
He didn't look like he got that.
No,
either.
It was a very pedestrian 127. They looked like they bottled him as well.
But I was saying that Jarrett McKinnon looked like he only had 3 carries for 5. I mean, he was returning, though. So Jarrett McKinnon looks like he is just running fast downhill when he's got the ball. But you mentioned the New Orleans Saints run defense and defense in general. Yeah, the defensive backs aren't looking good.
Ugh.
It just seemed like Bradford was the way the Vikings offense was working was hand the ball off to
Dalvin Cook.
He gets a couple yards. Next play, bomb it downfield. And that's where Stefon Diggs, who was looking fantastic with two touchdowns, two really good touchdowns as well, and Adam Thielen with 157 yards were waiting for the ball from very accurate Sam Bradford.
Yeah, Sam Bradford looked fantastic. Hopefully this time, you know, he's had a full year in the offense now. Yeah. Not like being drafted in last minute like he was for the unfortunate Teddy Bridgewater injury last year. He looks really, really good. Their defense looks nasty, especially that front seven.
Yeah, man. So Saints guys, I thought Alvin Kamara looked like he was the best running back for the Saints.
He got the most carries out of the backfield.
Yeah, but he only had seven.
Yeah, but six for Pete and six for Mark Ingram.
Yeah, and they were all running for 18, 18, and 17 yards. You know, they were in the same
very
zone.
Even. It's very much a backfield by committee.
I think that Kamara looked better, though.
Yeah, he looked like he had the best chance of
when the stats are
out.
Identical, you've got to go with the eyeballs, Nick, and the eyeballs are telling me to go with Kamara.
You know who else looked really great in the eyeballs?
Yeah.
It was Trevor Siemian. Trev gets it done against the LA Chargers in Mile High. 17 of 28, 219 yards, passing, two touchdowns, one pick. I would say he looked better than the numbers. He looked composed.
Oh, yeah.
He rushed for a touchdown quite unbelievably. You can see why he beat Lynch out in camp.
Yeah, he looked great because he was just looking like he was confident in getting the ball to the receivers. The fact that CJ Anderson looked really good running as well. Again, the stats don't reflect it too much. 20 carries for 81 yards. You know,
that's better than they were last season, though, where they had a real problem in the running game.
But I felt that, I mean, I'm going with the eyeballs, that the Denver offense looked far better than I was expecting.
Yes,
I put
yes.
them at the bottom of the division when I was predicting things because of the offense. The fact that they went against the Chargers defense, which has got...
it's got a lot of hype coming out of camp.
Yeah, Melvin Ingram is there. And
Joey Bosa.
So there's some big players on there, and Denver just did away with it. It was a really intense game, and it looked like LA were going to get a field goal to tie it at the end, but it was blocked by, what's the guy's name? I didn't even know it. Mitch Unrein.
Congratulations, Mitch.
Yeah, what a big play for getting a divisional win for your team.
This is such a weird game because for so much of it, you just thought, oh, Denver are just walking all over them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Chargers score twice in about a minute 30, and all of a sudden it's 24-21 and it looks like a close game, and then they get the ball back and you're thinking, oh, hang on, the Chargers could win this here, the Chargers could pull it out and finally do what they were threatening to do all last season but managed to throw it away. But no, once again the Chargers managed to blow a chance to tie the game late. It was a blocked field goal. On offense, there only looked to be one offensive, you know, real focal point of the offense, and that was Melvin, who looked fantastic.
Oh,
way
so
better
good.
Than his numbers suggest. He
yeah.
said 18 of 54, but trust me, he was breaking tackles, making people miss in the hole. That was a hard fought 54 yards.
Yeah, there was a run where he actually lost yards that was really impressive.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how that happens, but he was given the ball in the backfield and there was nothing. He couldn't go anywhere. But he managed to not lose as many yards as he should have lost because he was... And it was three defenders that he's just putting on the floor, dancing around, and eventually comes to close to the line and goes down himself. But, Melvin Gordon looks really, really good at the running back in Los Angeles. So look forward to seeing more of that, Chargers fans, as long as you can get some play calls to actually make that move. Speaking of making a move, Nick, I got to go home. So we've got to wrap this podcast up.
I've got to stop you there, Ross, because there is one game that we unfortunately do have to talk about.
Ugh.
It's Texans-Bengals on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right.
How can we excite people? Houston scored 7 points in their opener, and Cincinnati got zero. Both teams lost by a combined 42 points.
Gosh. Yeah, it's not something to look forward to.
This is the game condensed. This is the game that condensed Game Pass was invented for.
Or just sleeping in and missing games is designed for. I am going to watch it because we're going to review it for you. I'm going to pick Houston to get the win.
I can't trust that offense, not behind the offensive line.
No, I don't actually.
You changed your pick already?
Yeah, I just realized about how bad it was, how they don't know who the quarterback is, that people are getting benched left, right, and center. Nobody's receiving the ball. Lamar Miller's running it fine. The defense is hot, but we're on Cincinnati's side, there should have been more, and I think there's going to be more on offense. And Vigil Green holding the defense together for the moment. Yeah, I'm going to go with Cincinnati.
I would agree with that. Cincinnati better get the win, otherwise there's going to be serious issues there. I mean, both teams can't really afford to lose this, but yeah, I'm sticking with Cincy.
Two people picking Cincy there, and hopefully you're going to be picking games alongside us. We're in the NFL Pick'em thing on their site, nfl.com/pick'em. Is that how
they do it? Yeah, nfl.com/pick'em. Our league is the Going For Two podcast.
Yeah, you can see how Nick and I are getting on with our picks. Which challenge is not very us. Well. And see if you can come ahead of us.
Probably.
If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Ross White, WIGHT.
I'm at NickXK89, that's NICXK89.
And we're on Twitter at G_4_2, going for two. It's the high scoring, high risk play every time.